Okay, fantastic. Hey, if you've got a Bible this morning, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And it is good to see all of you today. And we are continuing on in this series and very much looking forward. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to share with you this picture, because there's something about how we identify ourselves, how we see ourselves, that has so much to do with you know, how we live, choices we make, all the different things. But anyway, we've been in this series the last couple of times, and I've kind of shared with you a little bit of where I come from, right? Blood-wise, and when you think about those things, you look back at where you've come from. And so much of it, we think, it just has this impact, is that where you're from has so much impact on who you are now. And so that's kind of been the picture, it's kind of been the look in this whole series that we've called Ancestry. But as we've taken a look back, I've wanted people to see that, you know, that where you have come from is that so many times people will tell me, because they'll use it as an excuse, you know. And, you know, somebody that drinks too much will look at me and say, well, you know, I'm Irish. Oh, okay. So you come from a long line of drunks, and so you just have aspirations of being a drunk? Is that kind of what you're telling me? And or I have some people that tell me, you know, that lose their temper all the time. You know, well, you know, I'm German. And I want to say, really? You really put your, you know, but that's how people are. They take a look at things and how you identify yourself. You'd be amazed. You may not even see it in your own life, but you'd be amazed at what you look back, how you identify yourself. It winds up making a difference in your life. It winds up determining who you think you are now. And so identifying how you see yourself. So here's what we've talked about. We've been talking about what it means to be a believer and what we've descended from. And if you are a believer in Christ today, therefore there's been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in Him, then I want you to know you've become part of His family. Scripture teaches that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become brand new. Therefore, remember, I am His, as was just sung about. I am His, He is mine. I am part of His family. And so therefore, I don't know about you, but I identify much more with His family. With you guys, those of you that are believers in the room. I want you to know there's a stronger family relationship between you and I than any blood relation. And then becomes something that is so important to see, understand, and live in the truth of it. It is truly remarkable, okay, when you see it. Why am I living here in Florida? I mean, I have redneck roots, guys. I mean, I wish you could meet my relatives, okay? You'd say, wow, Jeff, you have all your teeth. That's right. But why am I not living there? That's where all my relatives are. That's where generationally everybody lives and has always lived. Why? Because I don't identify with that anymore. Yeah, every once in a while, I'll go home and play redneck for a few days, you know, just for fun. But I belong with you guys. I mean, I'm His, He's mine. We will spend a lot longer together as a family, okay, than ever you will with your blood relationship. And for some of you, you're going, hallelujah, yeah, I don't want to identify with these blood relationships I ever had anymore. I understand that. Because some of us get a little scared, and I know you do, because I've heard people say it. You know, I just live in fear of turning out the way my family is. Okay, well, let me tell you what. You don't have to be in fear of that. If you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're a new creation, and you're identifying with His family. Therefore, when you take a look at the book of Acts, and we take a look this morning, here's how I want you to see it. I want you to see the book of Acts as if you were reading a book of your family history. Because if you're a believer this morning, it is your family history. That's what makes reading the scriptures as a believer so different from someone who's not a believer. Because I have to tell you, I'm pretty bored and silly if I'm reading somebody else's family history. But when you're reading your own, it's personal. It's what it means to have a personal, what they call a personal relationship with Christ. It's almost become rhetoric now, but have you ever thought about the phrase, personal relationship with Christ? What does it mean to be family? Okay, so remember this. Some of you said, well, I don't feel like family. Okay, we got to get past I don't feel like. Because your feelings go all over the place. The question is, are you? And I want to tell you, if you there's been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are part of His family, whether you feel like it or not. Therefore, keep doing what God's called you to do until the feelings catch up. They will catch up. It may take a while, but they'll catch up. So that's what we've been talking about. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about how a group of very average, ordinary people changed the world. But remember, we found out a couple of weeks ago, this is who you descend from. You have descended. Your family changed the world. I mean, this early in Acts chapter 2, very nondescript, very uneducated, very unlikely group of people changed the world. But I want you to understand that Acts chapter 2 told us, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, it talked to us about how it happened. God empowered them to do it. They had no abilities within side of themselves to do what they did unless God had empowered them. So we talked about a couple of weeks ago, if you're a believer here today, your descendants, what has been passed on to you, your legacy is those who learned to trust in God because they didn't have the ability to do it themselves. I have found that God loves to use people who will trust Him. Because when He does it through them, they know it was He that did it, and everybody else around them knows also. So again, this is kind of what we've been talking about. How do you identify? How do you see yourself? Okay? And as we move on, though, I want to talk. Last week, we talked about Paul and Silas. And those who were willing to be imprisoned, right? And you saw an amazing kind of a picture, you know, as Paul was traveling, and he had a desire to go to Asia. Remember we talked about last week? He was going to head to Asia and share the gospel in Asia, but God stopped it. And then he was going to kind of go straight to Bithynia, and God stopped it. And then he, you know, saw the dream, and then he turned left, right? He turned left, went due west, and he wound up in Macedonia, Greece, eventually Italy, eventually all of those areas when you take a look at that today. So then, therefore, God had a direction. Therefore, Paul wanted to do what God wanted him to do. But unless God leads us, it's impossible. So we talked about that last week. Today, I want to share with you something a little bit different, but it's following along with some of these same wonderful pictures of who we are as believers, but then what have we descended from? It's like reading family history. It's the way I want you to see it, the way I want you to read it this morning. And we're going to title it Wandering in the Desert, okay? Wandering in the Desert. And it's an interesting thing when you take a look at why we've titled it this. You'll see it in just a minute. We're going to talk about the Ethiopian man. And we shared with you probably a little over a year ago, maybe right at a year ago on this story, but I'm going to share with you in a total different way. I want you to see Philip. I want you to see a guy that we don't hear a whole lot about in the scriptures, but I want you to see something about him. So let's take a look at this. We're going to jump right into it. We're just going to look through the scriptures. Again, reading the book of Acts is so much fun because, again, you're reading about a group of people that are direct relatives of yours. All right? That's the way you need to see it. All right. So if you want to take down some notes, number one is God at work. Okay? God at work. All right, let's take a look at this. Now those, in chapter 8, verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. What does it mean that they were scattered? Well, one of the first persecutions have begun. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. We're actually here in a few weeks going to have a Memorial Day service. But in reality, it's going to be in memory of those who gave their life for their faith. And it's going to be a really cool day. I hope you won't miss it. It's several weeks away. But when you take a look, the first persecution began, and they all scattered. But the thing about when you scatter a bunch of believers, you just, especially in this time, you scattered God's word into a lot of different places. And so Philip, one of the disciples, he went down to the city of Samaria. And it says there in verse 5, I think it says that he was proclaiming Christ to them. So he just leaves and goes to Samaria, right? And now what is Samaria? For some of you that don't know, Samaria is kind of a state. If you'd like to divide Israel up into three states at this time, which is fair to do, the northern state was Galilee, the middle state was Samaria, and then the southern state was Judea. That's where Jerusalem was. Now, this middle state, this is the story of the woman at the well. This is where she was from. But this middle state was made up of Samaritans, and only partly Jewish. They were half breeds. They were half Jewish from the previous exile. They were half Jewish and half Gentile. So therefore, they had intermarried with Gentile people, and so the quote purely Jewish people wouldn't have anything to do with them. And so that again, that's kind of the picture of what we're talking about. Well, obviously, when Christ came, he did away with all that as far as what it means to be a believer. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But so Philip heads to Samaria. And so Philip is up there sharing Christ with them. And take a look at what was happening. Look at verse 6. It says, "And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many of who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city." So I want you to see something about what was happening as Philip was sharing. The people were listening. The people were responding. God was using Philip to do miraculous things. That happened quite a bit among the apostles. Because you have to remember, there was no written word. Therefore, when somebody would share God's word, God would give them the ability to do things that only God could do, to give them credibility with their words. So it was an interesting thing, interesting time. So God was obviously at work here. And so, you know, Philip has got to be having a great time here as he was thinking, hey, this is great, you know, and we're sharing the gospel. And it says about these people, there was intent listening, that there was great joy. I believe that if you want to put it down, there was kind of a revival in this place, or at least God was at work and incredible things were happening. I mean, a whole city here, right? And so, smaller city, but a whole city, and they're all out and they're all excited about it, okay? Now, most of us think that when God's doing something like that, and obviously, God, this is where you want me for right now. But, you know, this is something I want you to see. Number two, if you want to take down, so it's what I'm going to call an unusual call. Okay, an unusual call. Now take a look at verse 26. All right, verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip," okay, "I want you to get up, all right, and I want you to go south. I want you to go on the south road out of Jerusalem, okay, to Gaza. And then this is a desert place." Okay, and this doesn't make any sense. Okay, so what he's asking him to do, just in case you want to know what he's going to do, he's up north, okay, in Samaria, and great things are going on, right? And God calls him to go wander on a road in the middle of the desert. Okay, and there it is. What do you do when it just doesn't make sense? If you're a believer, what do you do? I want you to know that you descend from a long line of people that trust God even when it doesn't make sense. Notice here, Philip is not saying, "Oh God, why would you want me to go down there?" And Philip is definitely not saying, "Lord, well, you know, I'm not going if you don't tell me why I'm going." You know what would happen? What would have happened? God had just gotten somebody else to do it. I think a lot of times God can't use a lot of us because we have to know way too much before we go when God just calls you to trust Him. I know it's a little scary sometimes. It may even seem like, well, why would I go do that? But I'm telling you what, a willingness to be who God's called you to be is huge. You know, in Psalm 51, in verse 12, I believe it is, David said something that I don't want us to forget. All right, you'll see it on the screen. Have you got it? The Psalm 51? Yep, Psalm 51, verse 12. All right, it says this. Now, this is when David messed up. Okay? Remember, he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then covered it up. And gosh, it was a mess. But I want you to see what David said here in verse 12. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." I'm here to tell you, if you are a believer and you're living in open sin, I want you to know that God will not allow you to enjoy it if you're His. Now, if you are enjoying it, then you're probably not His. But if you are living in just outright, this is just wrong, like David was doing, he lost all joy to living, right? He lost all joy of being part of God's family. That can't happen, right? But that's not what we're talking about today. I'm even sorry I went that far because we got stay in tune, Jeff. All right, here we go. All right, look at this. Here's the thing I want you to see. And what did David ask God to do? And uphold me or grant to me a willing spirit to sustain me. So what David had said by this was he'd got unwilling to do what God had called him to do. Right? And he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And I want you to know, David gives us incredible wisdom there of understanding what it means to be a believer. And what I like to tell you when I say you come from a long line of people who were willing to do whatever God had called them to do, no matter what it looked like. And that is hallmark, if you will, in your family tradition, right? Hallmark, being willing to do what God's called you to do. So what's happening? Well, Philip is down there. I just had this picture, okay? It's my imagination. I think Philip is you know, probably got his hands in his robe, right? And I think he's walking around and he's kind of, you know, if you've ever been in the desert, there's just not a whole lot to it. Maybe you see a couple of scorpions if you're lucky, but, you know, a few buzzards flying over, waiting to see if you're going to drop over. But other than that, he's walking along and, we're not told, but I got to be thinking, he's thinking, gosh, I wonder what they're doing in Samaria. Gosh, I wonder if I should have even left there. But no, this is where God called me. Now remember, okay, he had no idea that this Ethiopian man was going to be out here. God didn't tell him. And as we're about to find out, I want you to see that there's an Ethiopian man that God called Philip to talk to. Why would God call him to leave a whole city? Okay? Because he's going to be talking to a man who potentially can change a whole nation. Oh, well, God, if you'd have told me that before, I wouldn't even have questioned you. Oh, you shouldn't have questioned me at all. You see the picture? Again, he does. I've just found him following him. He's not going to tell you the story. But I'm here to tell you this, is that tradition tells us that this Ethiopian man became so excited, you're going to find out about it in a minute, he went back to his country, and tradition tells us, church tradition, that he went back and made a huge impact in the nation of Ethiopia. In fact, even still to this day, Ethiopia is one of those lone countries in that whole area that has still a Christian tradition of some sort. It's an amazing thing when you take a look at it all around you. So here's Philip, right? Go wander in the desert. All right, so number three. And this is where we're going to close. We're going to spend a little bit of time here because I don't want you to miss this. This is so great to it because there's something you need to see about it. All right, number three is a seeker of the truth. Guys, I can't get past this. Everywhere I go, you saw it last week, you're going to see it again next week, I found over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, is that those who seek the Lord, God makes sure that you find Him. And here's this Ethiopian man. I want you to know is that he was a true seeker of God. But remember this, he just didn't know. But he wanted to know. I'm about to say something to you that I want you to hear and think about as I share it. I believe that everybody who wants to know God knows Him. I think you know about God as you want to know. I really do. I believe you know as much about God as you want to. I've just found most people don't want to know because they're afraid of what they might find. I think a lot of times they're afraid of what God might ask of them. And I want to do what I want to do, right? We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. All right, let's talk about this guy. He was a seeker. He wanted to know. So let's take a look at him. Let's see about him. Take a look, if you will, in verse 27. And he rose and he went. That is, Philip rose and he went. Notice that he didn't go here, he didn't go there, he didn't question, oh God, why am I going there? When God says it, he got up and went. All right, let's take a look. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that's a mouthful. Let's talk about it. All right. So you got Philip wandering around right out in the desert, and he happens upon this caravan. And just so happens, right? Out in the middle of the desert. I love, if you want to write in your notes, just so happens, and put it in quotes. It's incredible how when you follow who God's called you to be, where He's called you to go, just so happened. All right, so he's wandering down and he sees this Ethiopian man, and this Ethiopian man was part of the royalty, really. He was extremely trusted by Candace, who's queen of the Ethiopians. In fact, he was basically the treasurer, so he was one of the most trusted men. Now, you can get out your phones and punch on maps, and look how far Ethiopia is from Jerusalem. Oh, about a 2-hour plane flight. But again, they didn't have planes, right? And so what did they do? He had to chariot or horseback or whatever. It probably took a couple of months for him to get from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem. Maybe a month and a half, something like that. But either way, listen, why? Why would a man with such wealth and such responsibility, why would he leave? Why would he ask the queen to go to Jerusalem? He was a seeker. He didn't know, but he wanted to know. And I have found that God will move heaven and earth to get to you the truth if you want to know it. If you're not a believer here today, which I know there are probably many of you that aren't, I ask you a question. You may not know, but I'll ask you a bigger question. Do you really want to know? Right? Do you really want to know? If you do, just say a prayer under your breath. Well, I don't believe in prayer. Okay, it doesn't matter. Say a prayer under your breath, just basically, and say, God, I don't even know if you exist, but I want to know. God, I don't really know who you are, but I want to know. And if you're willing to say a prayer like that and mean it and say, God, I want to know who you are, you'll be amazed what you find. But I found sitters don't find anything. Only seekers find. So you get this guy who traveled all the way to Jerusalem. And so now he's traveling back. And since he's such an important, trusted person, he's got a whole caravan with him. Many that I have read thinks that there were as many as 50 attendants that accompanied this man. Right? And so you've got this entourage going through the desert because of bandits, right, and different things. And since he was an important guy, he's sitting in a chariot. And what's he doing? Well, he's reading from the book of Isaiah, which means he bought a scroll while he was in Jerusalem. Why would he, do you know how much scrolls at that time cost? Tens of thousands of dollars. To own your own was unheard of. Usually people pooled their resources together and a big synagogue would buy one scroll for the whole synagogue to use. What's this man done? He buys one for himself. So obviously he's an intelligent man because he's reading it. It's not in Ethiopian. I don't know the language of Ethiopia, but it's not in Ethiopian. It's in Hebrew. So he's up there reading it. It's amazing to think about. And he wants to know so bad, but he doesn't know. And I think it amazing that God would pull one of the apostles, one of the 12, out of an incredible meeting in Samaria and have him walk all the way, if you will, down into the desert to meet with one person. I'm here to tell you that's how much God loves you individually. And I promise you, if you want to know who he is today, he will make himself known. I don't have to convince you, but when he does it in your life, you're convinced because he's done it. You may have doubters all around you, but you'll be amazed at what happens. So God sends Philip down there. And he's got this scroll, right? And he's reading it. Let's eavesdrop here, okay? Put your sandals on. And let's eavesdrop in on the thought here. All right, here we go. Take a look down now, if you will, in verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. And then Peter just kind of goes over. He ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, here's what he said. Do you understand what you're reading? And this is what the man said. This is the cry of a seeker. How can I? Unless someone guides me. In other words, no, I don't understand. And he invited Philip, right? Because this is a high official and they were protecting him. So I think he was at a distance. And so he makes the invite to Philip to come up into the chariot. Right? And the passage of scripture that he was reading, let's take a look at it. Comes from Isaiah 53. If you know anything about Isaiah, that chapter is one of the most incredible chapters in the Old Testament because it's a messianic chapter that is predicting who Jesus is and what he would do. And it is amazing when you read it, just that one chapter. Well, just so happens he's reading that chapter, right? And here's what it says. Now, the passage of Scripture he was reading, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch, that is the Ethiopian, said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself? Or is he talking about someone else? Look at verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth. And beginning with this scripture, he told him the gospel or the good news about who Jesus is. Okay. Guys, this is huge. This is huge. Therefore, he shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therein lies one of my great passions in life. I just want people to understand. And this kind of passage has become I've put it up as kind of a picture of who God's called me to be. I just want people to understand. I'm not trying to talk anybody into or out of anything. But I have found that most people today reject Christ not because they reject the truth about him, but they reject him because of what other people have said about him. I have found that most people, the problem is that they just don't know. Or they just can't understand, and there's so much confusion with everybody saying this and that. I want you to know that one of my passions in life is to share it in such a way that you can understand it. Because if you can understand it, then faith has a chance. But if you can't understand it, faith has no chance. Because you can't put your faith in something that you don't understand. This man is the perfect example. He says, how can I? Unless somebody guides me. He asks him the question, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, I don't understand. Will somebody please? It's an incredible thing to me. Therefore, I have found that if I can share God's word in such a way that you understand, then it's your responsibility whether you put your faith and trust in it or not. Therefore, sharing those things is what God's called us to do. I don't know. It just, to me, it's an incredible thing when you think about it. Isaiah chapter 53, though, I will tell you this. We don't have time. I was going to share with you through Isaiah 53. But Isaiah 53 is such an incredible chapter. Isaiah 53 was written between 720 and 740 years before Jesus was ever born. And yet you'll see the, if you will, the foretelling or the prophecy, if you want to put it in that way, in these verses. Let me give you just a little look so you can take a look at it on your own. It is pretty neat. Isaiah 53 in verse 1 and 2, it talks about his birth. Again, these are over 700 years before Jesus was born. In verse 3, you'll see his life and ministry. In verse 4 through 9, you'll see the substitutionary death. We were wounded for by his transgressions. You know, right? By his stripes we are healed. Those kind of things. That's all found in there. It's just amazing, the clear picture in those passages. Well, that's what this guy was reading. Verse 4 through 9 is his substitutionary death. Verse 10 through 12 is his resurrection. Okay? And so this man then was a seeker. And when you take a look at Philip, he hops up into this chariot and he just begins to share with this guy. You know, that only happens in the Christian movies, right? That kind of stuff where somebody says, how can you know that? Well, let's continue to read. Skip down now, if you will, in verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Look at verse 37. Some of you may not have 37, but 37 is an amazing thought. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water. And Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. All right. Now think about this. So when you think about this picture, this man's been seeking. Therefore, God's made a promise to all of you, if you want to know, that if you'll seek him, you will find him. And God moved Philip down there, and Philip shared the gospel with him. And this man was ready to put his faith and trust in it. And remember this, what did he do? Okay, he's in this chariot, but he's got this whole entourage. So they passed by some water, and I guess Philip had already shared with him about what this looked like. And this man said, well, what would keep me? What would keep me from being baptized? And he says, well, if you've already put your faith and trust in Christ, there's nothing that can keep you from it. So they got down into the water. And listen to me, guys, we're going to do this tonight. And he got down in the water, and Philip baptized him. Obviously, you've been crucified with Christ. You've been buried with Christ, and you've been raised with him. Not that the water makes a difference in your life. Christ is the one that makes a difference in your life. But the water is just symbolic. And let me tell you how huge this was. He was doing this in front of all of his entourage. And if you want to know why history, at least Christian tradition, tells us that this man went back to Ethiopia and had such an impact, well, he went back, number one, a believer. Number two, he had a copy of the scriptures in his hands. And you let that man go back in, and tradition tells us he had tremendous impacts as different of the apostles and the disciples of the apostles would make visits to Ethiopia to teach them and to share with them. And it became something that all began here. When Philip was willing to go walk out in the middle of the desert. When Philip was willing to say, God, I'll go wherever you have me go. But guys, obviously that's what the big deal about baptism. Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with him. And he shared with his whole group that that's who he was now. Tonight, we're going to have a baptism at the beach. This is the last one of the year. In fact, we can't have another one until next summer. In fact, I was so relieved to see that it's going to be warm enough. Last year, it was refreshing for those of y'all that were baptized last year at the beach in October. Y'all remember that? This year, you're going to be fine. It's going to be gorgeous. The last opportunity. Why? Why? Let me tell you this picture. Because I've had people down through the years who said, you know, Pastor, I'm a real private person. And so would you just kind of come by my house and we have a hot tub in the back? I mean, I'm being serious. And can we just kind of do it in private? And I want to go ahead and tell you right now, the answer is no. Well, I'm a private, that doesn't matter. Remember this. Baptisms are public for a purpose. Because they're your public testimony that there is no such thing as an undercover believer. Right? No such thing. Therefore, you're baptized. When you're baptized, you're telling everybody that's watching. That's why I love doing this at the beach. When you're baptized, I want you to know that it's out in front of everybody so that you're telling everybody, Jesus Christ died for me, He was buried for me, and He overcame death for me. I'm identifying with that message. I'm identifying with that family. That's who I am. That's what you're saying by it. It by itself does not change your life. Only who Christ is what changes your life. It's just a symbol, a picture. And He asked us to do that as something like that. Anyway, so you got to like this Ethiopian guy. He was so ready, he practically jumped into the water before Philip got there. And you take a look for those things in people's lives. Because I found when God truly works, that tends to be the thought. Anyway, today, so if you need to be baptized today, it's a great time, obviously, if you want to be baptized at the beach, because we won't have another one for 9 months or so. But there'll be a table out there. If you haven't been baptized and you say, you know, Jeff, I haven't done this. I need to. This is the perfect time. You can head out. But I also want to ask all of you who can to be at the beach baptism, because being a part of witnessing, seeing people sharing with you, their commitment to Christ is huge as a body of believers, right? And it's like being at a baby shower, right? It's like going to celebrate a new life. That's exactly what it is. And so it's just this picture. So anyway, I would encourage you to do that. But as we move towards closing, so this guy gets up, Philip goes his own way, and this guy heads back to his home, you know, changed in here and with a copy of the scriptures in his hand. And it's going to be exciting to see as we think about in the years to come after he left here, the difference it was going to make in his life. Okay, but I want to kind of close this time with some things for us to learn. Because guys, I have learned this personally, and I want you to hear my heart here. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is kind of a life verse for me. And here it is. It talks about that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's the picture here of Philip. And therefore, understanding what God's word says gives somebody the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Him. So when you look at a day like today, you come from a long line of people who want to share with others who Christ is and what He's done. So what can we learn about what we've come from today? What can we learn about our ancestry, right? Number one is that they were willing to go where God called them to go. Let me ask you a question, too. Again, these can be tough things to think about, but I always like to challenge you, if you're a believer here today, is that they were willing to go wherever God, are you willing to go wherever God calls you to go? Are you willing to stay wherever God calls you to stay? In other words, it's not about what I want, right? We all have these thoughts that enter our minds like, gee, wouldn't it be nice to retire? I mean, I know I'm only 35, but wouldn't it be nice to retire and go do this and this? And all these things flood our mind. But in the end, as believers, the desire is to be where God's called us to be, no matter what, because we know what the other part of it looks like, right? for, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever and go wherever you want. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about what I want, but God's about what you want. Being willing, right? Being willing. Number two. Okay? They were ones, people we descended from. Now, I want you to think on this one. Is that the people that we descend from, they were ones that could share God's truth when asked. Let me ask you a personal question. If you're a believer here today, if an Ethiopian man in a chariot asks you to step up in the chariot and said, hey, can you explain this to me? I just want to ask you a question today. Could you? Right? If somebody came to you, like in a Christian movie, and said, you know, I noticed that you prayed for your meal. Hey, I noticed that you're a little bit different than everybody else in the office. Hey, I noticed. Can you tell me about that? Let me ask you a question. Would you know how to share God's truth with people when asked? Okay? I'm not asking you to go stand on the street corner and scream at people as they walk by. But I am asking, do you know? Because I found that God uses those who know. And therefore, Philip was obviously ready. But we come from a group of people that know what God's word says and know his truth and are able to share it, you know, with people when we're asked. Therefore, Philip was able to share. So that's a great question for you. Do we know? That's why I put such a premium on trying to share God's word with people so that they can grow in their faith. Not just so they can come to know Christ, but including that, but also so they can grow past, because God uses those that know how to share his truth, right? And if you don't know, find out. We've got plenty of things going on around here always that will teach you to do that. Number three. Obviously, the early believers, we descend from a group of people that have no prejudice whatsoever. And the reason they don't have any prejudice is because God doesn't have any prejudice. Notice over the last couple of weeks and including in the next couple of weeks, okay, just today, notice that we were talking about Samaritans that were coming to know the Lord. Notice that last week we talked about Lydia, who was from Thyatira, and she was a Turk. She was from the area of Turkey. Some believe she was from Greece. Either way, Greek or Turk, whatever you want to say, that's who that was her nationality. We're going to find out next week it's a Roman officer. Today, we look at it as an Ethiopian, a black man from northern Africa. The one thing I notice from this, what is God trying to tell us? You ever stop and say, what is God trying to tell us with the book of Acts, just in the first few chapters, is that God wants a family that's multinational. God wants a family that includes everybody. And that the gospel needs to be shared with everybody. Right? And you know, let me go ahead and tell you guys this. All right? I'll go ahead and say this. I'm just sharing with you with that because it's a truth from scriptures. But I have to be honest. I've been here 7.5 years and you guys do that. There isn't anybody that walks through that door that doesn't feel welcome. I have never heard of one. 7.5 years. This church is just that way. God bless you for being that way. That means that we're being who we followed. That doesn't mean there is no problem, but that does it. But as a general rule, it's an incredible place. I'm telling you, it's one of the most friendly places. Most friendly places. All right? I had a couple that came to me, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and they said, we just love when we came in here. When we walked in, we were sitting down, you know, and obviously, we looked like we were new because somebody in your church came up to us and said, hey, can we take you to lunch after the service today? And we said, sure. And off the lunch they went. I mean, you can't teach that kind of hospitality and openness and welcoming to people. Why? Because God's put us here to help and to be a guide for people that may need help. It's just an amazing thing. It's who God's called you to be. We come from a long line of people who have a desire to help people, guide them when they're lost, like this Ethiopian man. I mean, he was seeking, he was trying his best, but he had to have help by because, and that is the task God has given all of us as believers, to be guides. Be guides to him. So anyway, so as we close today, a couple of things I want you to hear. This is why I try to say, I really believe with all of my heart that people who truly want to know God today, okay, are eventually going to find him because of God's promises. I think we know, I think we know of as much of God as we want to. You know, I've learned through the years that if you truly are a seeker of who God is and truly you want to know, come talk to me. We'll have a fantastic conversation. And I would love to talk with you. There's lots of people that would like to talk with you. If you just want an argument, save both of us a lot of time and skip it. Let me tell you why. I've learned you can win the argument, but it doesn't matter. Guys, I went to school for a dozen years so I could argue with people, and I found it doesn't help one bit. I can win most of the arguments, but it makes no difference unless the person can see who God is in their lives and can see what the Scriptures teach. Isn't that amazing? I'm not saying that some of you shouldn't go to school and some of you shouldn't learn to defend your faith. I'm not saying that. But I learned all that stuff. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I learned all that stuff. I can win most arguments, but I found you can win the argument if it still doesn't matter. Unless God opens our eyes and lets them see, unless they truly want to know who God is, like this man, this Ethiopian man, it doesn't matter how good you are. No matter how smart you might be, what kind of answers you can give. Because it goes deeper than that. So if there's never been a time in your life, and you would truly, if you say, you know, I'm like that guy in the chariot. I know exactly that's how he feels. I don't know, but I want to know. There'll be some pastors up here afterwards that would love to talk with you. Right? Love to talk with you. And they're not going to tell you what the church or denominations, they're going to mention any of that. They're going to share with you what Philip would show you, straight from the Scripture, who Jesus is and why he came. All right? Just let you hear it and let you understand it. Okay? That if again, I never want anybody to come to one of our services. Right? Never want anybody to come to one of our services and have questions and not be able to have them answered by a live person if you want to. They'll be right here after the service. They would love to talk with you. Right? If you need to be baptized, okay, and saying, you know, Jeff, that really just kind of struck with me today. It's tugging my heart. I know I need to do that. I'm going to do it right now. As soon as we're done, head right out and just go to the table, sign up. It's really pretty easy. They'll tell you what to bring, and we'll see you out there and as a baptism that as the sun's setting. Well, it's a pretty neat thing, okay? But as believers, if you're a believer here today, if you're part of God's family, remember this. We come from a family. We have descended from a family that was willing to do what God wanted us to do. And that God could do great things through. Because they knew in themselves they were weak, but through Him they could be strong. And therefore, it's incredible how God can use us. If we say, Lord, I'm willing to be anything you've called me to be. All right? Amen? Amen.